Mark Kermode's on holiday, though doubtless listening, Jason Solomon, from the Observer. I mean, he always makes a point, you know, it's not much of a holiday, really. We have to tune in and listen to your replacement.
Nothing lie, that man.
Just so that we understand pretty much where you're coming from. Where are you on The Exorcist?
I don't think it's the greatest film of all time. Mark Kermode thinks The Exorcist is the greatest film of all time. I think Annie Hall, well, is my favourite film. Right. The two of us are somewhat polarised on he's horror, I'm kind of romantic comedy.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Not one of my favourites.
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the Sith is, well, I don't like Star Wars, but I quite like Revenge of the Sith. I'm not a big Star Wars fan, but if I had to watch them all again, I'd probably pick that one and Empire Strikes Back to watch.
The movies of John Borman.
I like very much.
Okay, well, so you differ enormously from Mark. Box office top 10 this week. You know where we do this, and I'll give you the top 10 movies, and you
I'm
just give a pithy one-liner. Thank you. At 10, The Interpreter.
Nicole Kidman playing a flute. Can't believe it's still in the top 10. It's not that good.
Number 9, Bunty Our Babbly.
Bollywood thing, which I haven't seen yet. It surprised me by coming in the top 10, but they didn't show this one to me.
Number 8, Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
TV spin-off finally makes it to the big screen, and is quite good fun, actually, if you like people in dressing gowns and sci-fi.
Number 7, It's All Gone, Pete Tong. Mark hated it last week.
Yeah, it's not that bad. Paul K is quite good as DJ Frankie Wild, and I tell you what is very good is the double album soundtrack that goes with it is terrific.
Number 6 is Millions.
Millions is Danny Boyle's rather sweet little tale. Usually he does kind of, Shallow Grave, Train Spotting. This is a kid's film, but actually for adults as well. I like this one a lot.
Kingdom of Heaven at number 5, Jason.
Kingdom of Heaven is very, very silly, but quite good looking in an Orlando Bloom kind of way.
Monster in Law at 4.
The one that Jane Fonda returned for.
She has left the building.
Yeah, I was just checking. It's not very good at all. Her and Jennifer Lopez do not get on together at all, chemistry-wise and in the film. Really, I don't like the title, I don't like the poster, I don't like the casting, didn't like it.
The Pacifier at 3.
The Pacifier is Vin Diesel at last looking after your children, not what you want.
Not at all. House of Wax at 2.
House of Wax is Paris Hilton, not at the beauty parlour, but in a remake of a horror, rather poor.
Still number 1, Star Wars Episode 3, Revenge of the Sith. You told us what you think of that. Let's talk about some of the new movies that are out, Jason. Sin City is the one that seems to... Well, it's that and League of Gentlemen taking most of the poster space available. Do Sin City first. What do you think?
Sin City, adapted from the graphic novels, I like to call them, but maybe comic books, some would call them, of Frank Miller. I'm not familiar with his work at all, actually. I have now seen what they look like. And Sin City is a kind of Gotham, Gothic-style place that is a bed of corruption and sleaze full of dirty cops and men with square jaws and women with impossible breasts and gravelly voiceovers. The men, not the women, that is.
Yes, no, I realise
that. Well, I mean, actually, I wouldn't put it past off of these women. It's a kind of pseudo-noir story where they've got lots of stories.
What does pseudo-noir mean?
Well, it's kind of like a Bogart. Imagine Bogart doing... Well, imagine Mickey Rourke doing Bogart, and it sounds a little bit like this.
3 hours later, and my head's feeling several sizes too big, and that cold thing happens to my stomach, and I realize Goldie's dead. Not a mark on her. You'd have to check her pulse or notice those perfect breasts of hers aren't moving like they would if she was breathing. She was murdered and I was right here when it happened, lying next to her, stone drunk just like she was. Damn it, Goldie. Who were you and who wanted you dead? Who were you besides an angel of mercy giving a two-time loser like me the night of his life? Well, it sure as hell wasn't my looks.
He's smoking too much.
You can't recognise him in this film. He is actually very good in this, Mickey Rourke. His career is resurrected out of nowhere by this performance in this film. Although the film is very confusing. There are 4 story strands, one starring Bruce Willis, one starring Mickey Rourke, one starring our own Clive Owen with his new perfect teeth, and another one starring all the girls, Rosario Dawson, Jessica Alba, Brittany Murphy, Devon Aoki. It looks fantastic. It looks like a comic book. So the scene, rather like, do you remember Sky Captain in the World of Tomorrow,
yes,
where Jude Law did things and didn't have to turn up for work because it was just all a green screen? And this is like that. But it looks terrific. My mouth was agape at how stunning it was when it starts. However, after about 2 hours of those gravelly voiceovers that you heard from Mickey Rourke and lots of beating women up, lots of kicking and screaming, lots of shooting, lots of kind of violence that I didn't really understand. If you call your film Sin City, I think you should have something to say about sin. And if you're going to put so much violence up on the screen, I think you should have at least a comment on it. And it's directed by Robert Rodriguez, who's a bit of a Tarantino disciple, and he has actually nothing to say. His best film is Spy Kids 2, which is actually very good, but he has really just not on the human condition, he's not really the one to probe the human heart. And I felt that was very disappointing about Sin City, and I actually ended up not liking it, even though it looks fantastic and I wanted to like it. I didn't really understand why these men were walking around. If you hold it up to, say, Bogart and Bacall or Barbara Stanwyck or even Jessica Rabbit and Roger Rabbit,
which it's inviting you to do.
Yeah, it requests that you do that. Everyone smokes, everyone goes to the Triple Ace clubs and look at the broads, and And it just does not have the same hardness that noir had, the same morality that's defined by actions that noir has. And the broads in this one are rather, they're hung up on walls, they're attacked, they're not very empowering. Whereas I think the real femme fatales, the Bacalls and the Barbara Stanwycks, you loved them even though they were cold-hearted and you thought they were damaged. You wanted to kind of care for them, and you could fall in love with the femme fatale. In fact, you did. You felt in lust and in love with them, and they were dangerous. These ones, they don't exist. They're kind of large-breasted and in bustier. And they just don't exist, these people.
By and large, black and white, is it?
It is all black and white, apart from the odd splash of crimson blood and yellow sort of spattered egg-type bullet holes. And there's some very visually, it looks terrific, the women's lipstick kind of illuminating the screen. But it is a black and white thing. The style is everything, the substance is nothing.
So after the first 10, 15 minutes, does it lose its... does that kind of, that glamorous... approach to it, does it get tiresome?
I got very tired of the incessant violence, because it doesn't go anywhere. People are just getting shot and falling down again. That's fine if you like cartoons, that's great, but they're funny generally. This one is a very serious cartoon, and I don't know what a really serious cartoon should be doing, and I got lost in this one, I'm afraid.
Just out of the travel, by the way, last week you'll remember we gave you an opportunity to win an MP3 player, and what you had to do was to tell us what was Mark's single sentence review of House of Wax, and you had to go back and listen to it. The correct answer was, any movie in which celebrity slapper Paris Hilton meets a sadistically grisly end cannot be all bad. That was what we needed. The winner is Adam Barnwell of Hitchin. Thank you very much indeed for all the entries. Adam, you have the MP3 player. We will be in touch. Movie reviews this week from Jason Solomons, the Observer's film critic. Sin City and League of Gentlemen pretty much taking most of the headlines. Since it is an 18, isn't it?
It should be, yes. No, it is. I mean, it deserves.
And is that for the violence particularly?
It is the violence. And it, I suppose there's some sexism in there too. There's some bad language. There's no drugs. So, I mean, it's not offensive to any. I mean, it's really for teenage geeks, to be honest with you. So it should be 15, really. But I actually haven't got the certificate in front of me.
I think I saw an 18 certificate.
Yeah, anyway. It is very violent.
League of Gentlemen's Apocalypse, Jason.
Yes. Do you watch the League of Gentlemen?
Yes, I have seen it.
Yes. Lots of people have seen it.
I would say I'm not one of their cult followers.
No.
But I like the guys.
Well, a lot of people have seen the League of Gentlemen and turned over because they think it's a bit weird, really. And it's not Little Britain, it's Weird Britain. It's darker, it goes deeper than that. I wasn't a particular... I'm not a particular expert on the TV series, but the path from small screen to big screen is littered with British casualties. One only has to think of, I don't know, Boys in Blue, Cannon and Ball, a classic of the genre.
On the buses.
Well, these boys behind the League of Gentlemen actually cite On the Buses as one of their inspirations, and it takes a brave spirit to do that. You have to admire the bravery behind it. And what they've done is actually been very careful about how they adapt their TV show for a big screen. In fact, what they've done is make a film about people adapting a TV show for the big screen. So you've got the characters from Royston Vasey, the fictitious town where all these characters live, marching on the West End, marching on Soho's media circus because they find out they're going to get killed off. So the creations invade the creators' world and take them over and kidnap them and see how they like it. And then they go on to another level. They go into a medieval romp, which the writers of the League of Gentlemen are actually writing, and the creations from Royston Vasey go into it. Confused? You won't be if you see it, actually. It does all work rather nicely, rather swiftly, and it is quite funny. Some of the jokes are rotten. There's one with the giraffe semen getting sprayed all over old people. Not very funny. But there are some very sweet jokes and very funny jokes, and some of the dialogue is very funny. The characters that exist, because people who love the League of Gentlemen just want all characters to be on the screen all the time, and they've managed to kind of cut them down, and there's only a few that make it. And three of them are in a car right at the beginning of the clip that we've got here.
Just realised who you are.
Have you?
You in it? Demon Butcherer, Hilary Briss.
Alice Clare, the one with the funny meats.
You used to put things in your sausages, didn't you? Killed all them people. Hey, I used to eat your pork pies.
They weren't pork.
I know, it's all bumholes and eyelids, isn't it? It's still nice, though.
Businessman Jeff Tops, Hilary Briss the Butcher, and Hair Lip, who I always think is a bit of a Kenny Everett type character. The innuendo.
With a comedy name.
Yeah, comedy
isn't
name.
It innuendo, could it be a bit self-referential? I mean,
it is self-referential. I mean, it is for fans, really. I mean, I did a Q&A with the guys behind it, Mark Gatiss, Jeremy Dyson, Steve Pemberton and Reese at the NFT on Tuesday. And it was, the crowd absolutely loved it. But then if you're going to go see a Q&A with the guys, you're going to be a fan. And the fans absolutely loved it. And they could have been disappointed. The problem is when you stretch your TV into 90 minutes, then they can get disappointed. It moves along at a fair clip. And actually, having seen the film, I'm actually tempted to go and watch the TV series a bit more, which is a very strange. It's like Stockholm syndrome. I've been seduced by them. But I do think the guys behind it are very bright, and it's a smart premise. This six characters in search of an author, especially wandering through Soho as well.
I mentioned Mark and Jeremy from the League were on a couple of days ago. I haven't seen the film, but the way they were describing it about sort of being haunted by your creation sounded a bit like Wes Craven's New Nightmare, that kind of
thing. There's a Stephen King book, The Dark Half, isn't there, where the horror writer persona overtakes the romantic writer persona, a bit like me and Mark Kermode.
So does it succeed? I mean, given all the enormous pitfalls of British comedies turning into 90-minute-plus movies, is it on the Monty Python side of success, or is it on the Cannonball side of failure?
it's somewhere in between the two. It's not Life of Brian. It's not Shaun of the Dead either, which came out of the Space series. It hasn't got that crossover appeal, I think. But it will make its money back, I think, and it will do quite well. It's not going to make any money elsewhere out of Britain. But I think they had a good fun doing it. And there's some very good cameos from Victoria Wood and Bernard Hill and Peter Kay and Simon Pegg in there. So there is something to if you're a fan of sort of TV and the way to the way of writing, if you're a writer, I'd say that this is a very fine example of what to do with a smart script.
This from Tom in Newcastle says about Sin City, I entirely agree with your man on this one. Great on the eye, but nothing for the mind or heart. The fanboys seem to love it, though, according to Tom. We have a couple of minutes before we head back to Epsom for the Oaks, which is coming up on 5 Live. What can we most profitably fill the time with, Jason?
We can fill it with some little gems that I've picked up on my travels around Soho's screening rooms. Gorilla, the Taking of Patty Hearst, recreates the atmosphere around the kidnap of Patty Hearst in 1974 when she was kidnapped from Berkeley University, California. One of the richest families in the US held to ransom by the Symbionese Liberation Army. That mad 70s feel when all these weird terrorist cells popping up in Belgium and London had one. I think there was the Red Army in Italy, the Baader-Meinhof in Germany, and they had one in California as well, and they started overthrowing. And then Patty Hearst, of course, became attracted by her captors and became one of them and started holding up banks. And there's a famous picture of her in front of the symbol with her gun, one of those sort of iconic images of the 70s. And this explains all that myth that for me before it only has ever existed as myth. And this kind of explains the culture at the end of Vietnam, in the week that we discover who Deep Throat was, the mistrust that the youth had of President Nixon. I thought this was a terrific documentary, full of really good archive footage and lots of shots of big old tape recorders, which I think are very interesting.
That does BBC. It for you. Yeah. Movie of the week, Jace.
Movie of the week, though, is it's an African film, which you mentioned Mario Van Peebles.
You've got to do it in 10 seconds.
10 seconds. Ousmane Sembene's Moulada, about female circumcision in Africa. A lot better than it sounds.
That's not really your movie of the week.
It's a fantastic film.
Okay, we'll leave it there. Jason Solomons, thank you very much indeed. You can read Jason in greater detail in The Observer.